Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Carrie Turgeon. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, Gary.
So for those who don't know, Carrie is mayor of Jefferson City, and she's joined us here today. We're going to talk about the redevelopment of the old Missouri State Penitentiary. So it's been a generational type of journey here to get us to this spot. For those who may not know what MSP is, kind of give us an idea of what MSP is and then what the history behind it is.
Sure. So we have the historic Missouri State Penitentiary right here in the heart of our community, and it was once the oldest operating penitentiary west of the Mississippi. It's 100 years older than Alcatraz, so we're talking really significant history and a tourist attraction now that, of course, it's been decommissioned, and so they're really using it more for tours and recognizing the history, the stories, the architecture, everything about it. And it's really become a major tourist attraction. So when they first opened tours, there were 3,000 people, I believe, in 2009, and now there's over 30,000 people a year that come from 48 states and all over the country, or all over the world, over 30 countries that have been here to visit. And so there's land adjacent to that. So we have the historic piece, and then adjacent to it, we just have open land. And so that's where the city came in to help facilitate redevelopment.
So that site is like 150 acres or so, right?
It is.
Right there along the river on the east side of town. So as you say, through the efforts of yourself, state legislators, including now Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, among others, the state conveyed 32 acres of that property to the city for its use, right?
Yes.
So kind of walk us what happened then after that happened.
Well, even getting that 32 acres was a significant amount of time. And when I first came on 8 years ago, started conversations with the governor at the time, and we didn't get very far that first time. But then when we had Governor Parson and the new administration, there was a renewed effort and interest. And so things moved very well. Of course, even working with then Senator Kehoe before he was even lieutenant governor, as far as the land conveyance went, because that took a few years to get through the legislature, understandably. And to really outline what we were going to do with it, which was really facilitate redevelopment and take their master plan that they had already started and get that to fruition and get that further. So the city took request for what could go on the site and public input. And as we know, there were several different ideas, but what we stuck with was really what the master plan showed, which was hotel, conference space, and a mixed use of development of retail, office, just something you would expect near a tourist type attraction at the Capitol and overlooking a river view.
Right, right. And so a former city council, you were mayor at the time, chose one of the developers out of Chesterfield, St. Louis area, and they kind of laid out that plan that would include a hotel, conference center, ice rink potentially, maybe some housing, mixed use. Right.
Right. And those are all things that the city and state, and we called it the MSP Community Partners, which included county and chamber and our CVB, and of course the city and county and all together. So we came up with those parameters, and then Chesterfield Development said, we can do that. That looks great. Let's work together and make that happen. So we set out the guidelines, and then they wanted to work within those parameters.
Yeah.
And even before we got to that selection, because we're talking about all the obstacles, we got the land, so that was great. And then as we were working together to facilitate and get the RFQ and get a qualified developer, you'll remember in 2019, what happened was the tornado went right through MSP, tore the roof right off of Housing Unit 4, which was the most historic unit utilized for tours. So, and that took almost 3 years to get the roof back on and replaced. So despite the fact that the tornado went right through the site, we kept the process going. But that did change, you know, as we fast forward to the future, what MSP would look like for the future. So we'll talk about that. But
yeah, well, I think, again, it's just it's fascinating because you're right. There were multiple parties involved. There are community members, county, city, state. And so when the tornado comes through, that certainly put a hindrance there to that progress that had been made.
Yes.
It's also been a bit of a moving target also because after that happened, then you had COVID, the pandemic shuts down. So the state, the city, the county's focus went a different direction. Obviously, the developers, the hospitality industry was incredibly impacted by the pandemic. And then you had this inflation that we're now going that's driven up costs of construction. So there's been more than one or two little glitches in the plan.
Yes. And an interesting, I guess, glitch that turned out for the better was what we call the land swap. So when we got our conveyance, we asked for a certain amount of acreage. We pretty much drew a rectangle and said, this is open land. Here's what we want. We never really anticipated that we would also want to utilize housing unit 5, which is the housing unit closest to the river. It's the red brick housing unit, not historic in nature. So it really is not needed. It's not used for tours, for example. Initially, we thought it could be renovated and rehabbed into something, but after the tornado went through, it was not even feasible anymore at that point. And so the tornado really did change the layout of what was going to be used for redevelopment at MSP. So if we could have foreseen the tornado when we asked for our land from the state, was physically impossible, we would have probably done it differently. But once Housing Unit 5 became potential for a hotel space and potential for that, we did what we called the land swap. And that took close to 2 years. And the public may not realize it because it was a lot of back and forth between the state, between the city. In fact, we were actually told no by the state at the time. And we knew it was so important because that was really where the hotel could have been for the best potential. And then it took a while, like I said, 2 years. It took being told no, and it took new leadership within the state and within OA, and very thankful for Ken Zellers and his team. And of course, Governor Parsons has been great. But getting the permission to do the swap, and it benefited the state too, because then they were going to put their One Health lab, which also was a new development. So much has been coming, and it's all been good, but it also took time. And so our developer, Chesterfield, was saying, where's the hotel going to go so that we can engineer it for the site and have our architects do it, because they were spending significant amount of time and money to lay it out. But we couldn't tell them where until the state told us what we could do with the land swap. So that happened, but there's a lot of those extra things that took a lot of time. And then as we got into then the other challenges financially with what was going on in the world, then that all really hurt our timing in the end. But it'll come back.
Well, and I think it's one of those things where hindsight is great. I mean, I can recall back in October, we had stories where council, you were talking about it was looking great at October. By the end of even 2022, there was the potential there could be a development agreement. But throughout all of this, there was another element added with the addition of the physician's building. And so the whole footprint is a little bit different now than what it was back in 2009 or whatever.
It
is.
Is
that a fair statement?
Absolutely. And of course, we just signed the resolution for the Center for Excellence that you referred to, which is the two associations, the Missouri Primary Care and the Missouri Primary Care and then Behavioral Health Associations that are doing their joint project. And we've incentivized retail there. So the more retail they add, the better the land cost for them, because really the cost all goes back into the project anyway.
Sure.
But we want it to be the best development. But they're going to be a wonderful tenant to have, because they draw a lot of visitors and people, and they've said that having the conference center and hotel there will benefit them. So while we thought the hotel piece would come first, now it's looking like the other development will come first, which is great. We just want to see development. I think sometimes if you build it, they will come. This is a perfect example of that, because people need to see the road and need to see something start there. I mean, we have that vision. We've had it for years. And I say before I was even mayor, they had that vision. I've just taken that vision and kept it moving forward. And while it's changing for the better, but it is maybe different than we thought. But, you know, looking at the hotel and conference center piece, the city's lodging tax will pay for the conference center. In fact, we will even more than pay for it. So that's exciting. You know, we have the funds to do that. But the hotel piece, what we're asking for is a full service hotel. We want a nice hotel. We've seen what Chesterfield has built in Columbia, which is the Broadway Hotel with the rooftop concept, with the bar restaurant overlooking, in that case, downtown Columbia. We could have that overlooking the Missouri River. So we don't want to sell ourselves short. We want to do it right. We have one chance to build a nice hotel, full service, with a view. And so I think we've really stuck to that, which is good, but it costs more. It's harder to do because of that. Of course, we always face doubt in Jefferson City of what kind of demand we have here, but we are a capital city, and we know that when things start to come back and hospitality starts taking off again, people are absolutely going to be ready to come here, and that makes us a destination.
Right. So what's the timeline? So last Monday, council approved a resolution that basically opened up the project for new developers, as well as the existing developer, to basically re-tee up and kind of spell out your vision of how you would use that site.
Yes.
So what's the timeline? How's that going to be handled?
I think the timeline is going to be whatever it takes to get it done and get it done right. And that's really what we focused on for the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. We could have done things different and quicker, but we knew that we want it done. This is our one chance. So the timeline is, we know in July of this year, we have an agreement with the state, and we know that we'll need another extension, which we've had in the past. They've been very cordial to that because they want to see this redevelopment happen. So we'll need to make that happen. So there's a deadline there and a timeline. Also, our EDA grant, which was a disaster grant for the tornado, that is tied specifically to jobs. And initially, we thought the hotel would provide the jobs to accept the grant. So right now, we're looking at perhaps instead the Center for Excellence building would fulfill that, or the state's One Health lab. So we're working with EDA, and they want to see this happen as well. This is a perfect example of disaster recovery. I mean, disaster went right through the prison, the tornado did. So all those pieces to come together, that's what forms our timeline. That is why we're moving, also looking at a different developer, because we know we want to hit the EDA deadline. We want the grant for infrastructure, and we want to see this move as quickly as possible while also opening it up in case there are other hoteliers that may want to. And why not? Because we have this amazing site with land that would be deeded over to them, or, you know, partnered with them to build this facility overlooking the Missouri River within a mile of the Capitol. So it may be Chesterfield, but it may be someone else. Council has asked staff to formulate something to send out to developers so that we'll have a more formal process. And I'm sure there will be more deadlines spelled out that if the developers don't meet the qualifications within a certain time, because we really didn't see challenges like the pandemic and like the other, you know, recession and things that we are facing, but I'm sure we'll build in a little more of that. But really, I think it's a bit fluid because a project of this magnitude needs to be that way. And if we can do and show our due diligence that we are getting closer to the finish line, I think the state will continue to allow us to do this because they see the value, and it's a value for the state as well.
Mm-hmm. So Mayor-elect Fitzwater has expressed interest and support of the project, the development. I presume the council is still on board with it as well. What's the state saying to this idea of reopening it to new developers?
The state has been very receptive, and we're very thankful. We meet with them very frequently with the heads of a lot of the state departments that are involved, not just OA, but DNR, and, you know, with all the other departments that we work together with. You name it, we're all at the table when it comes to even the historic preservation piece. I mean, the state is involved at literally every level. They've been extremely supportive the whole time. The whole way. They want to see this succeed. We're all partners in this. So I think that will be fine. So far, council up until this point, as we know, they've invested in it with many different ways and different incentives that the money that's raised there will kind of be put back into it, like things like a TDD and different incentives that whatever money new that's raised kind of goes back in it. I'm oversimplifying, but some of those things that council has been signing off on for the last several years to make happen. So council is on board, although we do know we have new administration, new mayor, new council. Like you said, I'm very thankful that Mayor-elect Fitzwater has been extremely supportive from the whole time of this project. And I know he's wanting to breathe new life into it, which is fantastic. Ultimately, it is up to the new administration. So everything I'm saying is just really from my perspective, which is just kind of where we've come up to this point. Now I'm handing it off to the new administration, very excited to see what they'll do with it. But ultimately, it's up to them. So they may completely change everything I've just told you.
Yeah.
But I do believe that under the parameters that the state has given us, that they would likely continue down this path because we've invested way too much into it not to, and we know this is what we've already presented to the public, and we have everything moving in this right direction to make it just an outstanding development.
So what kind of activity are we going to see? We already have laid out, the state has a health lab they're planning on putting there, the office building. Will there be any other work as far as infrastructure going on in the near future?
We'll see the road happening, and we've seen that at public works meetings. You've probably seen some outlines of what the road may look like and where that would be laid out. It's a little different than the original master plan that anticipated it would connect to Lafayette, because the topography is a little hard to do that, but there's other ways. We've been engineering that for years to make it work with the site. So we're really going to be digging into that. So you'll see things like the utilities, the infrastructure, the road that need to go in there as well. And we will likely see other development too, because there's still some acreage left for some of the other potential things. Yeah. I know in the past there were things like an ice arena looked at, although the challenge with that is you need a very large, huge, flat area without any poles and support beams.
Are there
beams.
Any large, flat areas in Jefferson City?
Well, and we know we do need the new ice arena, and we've known that for years. So I still like the idea of it there. However, it may not be the best fit right there. What I also liked about it was adding the extra type of expo space that it could be, because we're looking at that sort of a use for the site. And we also have to remember, there's still 95 acres to the east of MSP. So whatever we're talking about is just in our 30 acres, but that's not to say that things couldn't happen to the east. I mean, there are a lot of big picture ideas, like they talked about steamboat museums and things that really would be perfect there.
Sure.
And so I think those are things that once buildings start happening, this will naturally come, whatever it may be. So 95 acres to the east is still state owned. That's where we have, of course, the health lab and DNR. But if you go all the way, it actually connects to Riverside Park. So you think of the Greenway system, the connections. When you come to Jefferson City and stay at this future hotel with the future conference center that's planned, that you could walk or bike or drive to Riverside Park, go to the amphitheater, have entertainment. You could enjoy all that we have to offer just less than a mile away. And on the other side, you have the Capitol. And then you have entertainment districts between downtown and the central east end with the Prison Brews area. And you're going to start to see all that really come alive, because the core of our city has so much to offer and is so strong. So there's still a lot of land yet. So you're asking what's going to be built in the site. And I'm kind of going even beyond those boundaries, because this development, what happens here, affects so much wider of a footprint. But within our acreage there, we will start to see likely other developers now that are going to come to the table with ideas for, I'm sure, retail, restaurants, things that will coincide well with all of the office workers that are going to be there every day, and the visitors, and the 30,000 people that tour MSP in a year. And touching on that, Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania attracts over 300,000 visitors in a year.
Wow.
And they don't have the history that we do. So when you look at potentials for historic pens, they are extremely viable for tourist attractions. I also want to touch on what we used ours for, the upper yard that we have. So imagine utilizing that for a barbecue or a reception, or if you have a hotel, a group that's coming in from around the state and they want to utilize that for an evening reception. We proved that that can be used for that. We did the concerts inside the walls. We had three big concerts for 3 years.
Yeah.
Another thing we were told no in the beginning, and we're able to turn that around into something that the state actually said, this is great. And they were part of it. And, you know, we had Travis Tritt, we had Wynonna Judd, we had Big and Rich, and then the tornado came, and then, you know, had to reconfigure. But that upper yard has potential. So bottom line, what we have is what no other city has in the country. There is no city that has a capital, a river, and a historic penitentiary. There's none that has that combination of three. So what we have, our assets, like what we're given as a city, is something that is so unique and special that if we can really get it to fruition, which we will see something that is a statewide destination and even beyond. It's going to put us on the map to realize the potential of the capital city that we are and our central location. And being a sports town and all the amenities and every group that wants to come here, we're close to all of that. And with the river view, it's clear that the people who were at the penitentiary, the prisoners, had the best view of the city. And if you look out Housing Unit 5, I can prove that to you.
Yeah.
And look out the view of the beautiful, majestic Missouri River. And to be able to have a future hotel and conference center with that kind of a view, it's a view like nowhere else. You will not find that view and then also be able to see the Capitol.
So obviously your term is ending here in 2 weeks, roughly. So it's a little bit bittersweet. As far as I recall, when you ran, MSP was one of the main emphasis of your campaign. So looking back, obviously you've made great progress. So I'm sure you're very proud of the work that you and others with you have done, but it's also not there yet, right? And so kind of what are your parting thoughts about the whole development and your encouragement for those that you've handed the ball off to and the community?
I'm extremely proud of how far we've come with MSP. And while it's taken several years to get it here, it is something that faced many challenges. And it is not just a basic site. It is very unique. And we were told no. I touched on a few today, but we were told no multiple times at many different ventures. And the fact that we kept it moving forward and realized that this is too important just to say we're just going to let it sit and we are going to do something for it because it's in the heart of our city with the great river view, and that we worked extremely hard to get all the right partners together. We didn't do this single-handedly. It's not about me. Mm-hmm. It's about what happened before me. It's about the team we put together collaboratively to get this thing going. And so into the future, I have no doubt that it should continue to go that way because there's too many of us that have worked on it to get it there. And it's been clear with new Mayor Fitzwater that he also has intentions to breathe new life into it. So I am more than excited to see the direction it's going to go. Would love to be able to hand it off and then see it really take off. And it may be a new developer, whoever it's going to be. This is now fully positioned and ready for someone to come in and make it happen. And it's just the right time. All the stars are aligning on this project. And with the city, we have the Bicentennial Bridge. You look at Adrian's Island, you can access that from the river side of MSP. So in the future, imagine, and this is what I love about being just so visionary and the positions like mayor where you can make these things happen, is in the future that you could connect Adrian's Island at MSP and you could really make it something, come off the Katy Trail, come to the Capitol, and you could really make this so special and unique. But there's so much cool and great potential. So I have full confidence that the new council will take it even farther than we ever dreamed.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We'll see how things progress. So Carrie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.